All right, everybody. Today we have the amazing Emma Hicks with us. Emma Hicks, everybody.
Hi, Emma. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
I'm really good.
Good.
So, guess what, everybody that's listening? We just finished a shoot.
We did.
Today we did your first official bondage shoot. But before we get into the shoot details and talking about all that fun stuff, let's talk about you. Let's talk about Emma Hicks. Let's talk about, where should we start with you? Should we start about, how long have you been in the business? Let's start there.
4 years. I'm Canadian.
You're Canadian.
I have three cats and a dog.
When you said three, I was like, you have children?
I got three babies, four babies.
Three cats and a dog.
Yeah. I'm pretty boring.
That, you know what? Every model says that, and it's okay. That's the reason we ask the questions.
Yeah, I'm pretty boring, but...
What are your cats' names?
Oh, okay. I could talk about my cats forever.
Let's talk about your cats then. Let's talk about your pussies.
Yes, my pussies. So the biggest fluffy one is Kevin.
I love that you're giving human names.
He's a gangster. And then there's Vader. He's black. And then the last one I have is Moose, because I'm Canadian, so I had to bring that part of Canada with me.
Now, is Moose the smallest?
No, he's so fat.
Oh, I was going to say, that'd be awesome if you called him Moose and he was a little bitty thing.
You know what? I rescued him last February. And he used to be so skinny. And like now he thinks that the food is never going to be there. So his stomach literally...
Oh, no, sad.
I know. So his stomach is literally like... outwards, like he looks like a little ball.
That's cute. I had a Great Dane when I was younger, and she was the runt, and the same thing happened. Like, you put food in front of her, she just woof it down until she gets sick.
Yeah.
And then she'd do it all over again. So I figured out, like, I forget who I talked to, I don't know if it was the vet or something, but they were like, just stand there with food,
and
as soon as it empties, pour more. Yeah. And show them that this will go on as long as they want it. You're going to give them food. And she stopped doing it.
It's so sad, though, because you're like, I just want to feed you everything. But, yeah, my cats are really, they're all pretty fat.
Yeah, ice cream and kitty cats, I don't think mixes very well. Yeah. what's your dog's name?
Maya.
Maya, so such a cute name. And there's Vader. So there's Maya. Is she like the princess? Does she run the house?
Oh, she's such a princess. She is such a diva. When she walks, she walks like a very, like... You know what I mean?
She's a prance.
She does a prance, yeah. But sadly, I have to find her a new home because I'm moving here to Vegas.
Yay! We love the Vegas part. But
yeah, we like the Vegas part.
But that's sad that you have to find her a new... Why do you have to find her a new home?
Because it's Vegas. She's a husky. She's going to melt out here. Plus, I'm working so much. I don't want to leave her.
Because all the porn industry hasn't moved to Vegas yet. A lot, it's slowly migrating over here because this is becoming the new porn valley.
Yeah.
Shh, don't tell anybody, you know.
It's true, though. I feel like porn is going to move here, so I'm getting a head start. Well, it's slowly migrating.
I mean, we've got kink, half of, more than half of kink productions happen in Vegas, I think.
Now. Yeah.
I think so.
Still in San Francisco or no?
No, San Francisco, we moved out of the Armory, and they sold the Armory, and we all got like little birds. Go fly away, motherfuckers.
Oh, that sucks.
So, yeah, they shut the Armory down, and we relocated. So I was the first one out, and I came out here and set up shop, and then I helped a couple of the other directors set up shop out here we actually in the same building. Two doors down, there's one, and then the two doors down, or at the end, there's another one.
Different company? Same company?
They were kink directors. They've since started doing other things. But so, yeah, there's three of us that are in this building, so it's kind of like the kink relocated here. And then the director who does all the gay content for kink, yeah, he's out here also.
Okay, yeah, no, Vegas is where it's at. The whole industry is gonna move here.
Yeah, I think so too. Because yeah. I mean, there's so many, you know, you got Johnny Castle's out here, you got Brando's out here, like you've
Darcy
got
Darcy Dolce, like, yeah, there's a shit ton of people moving here, and yeah, I'm just gonna get on the boat before everyone does.
Do it, man. Yeah. Do it, and that way you can be like, you motherfuckers followed me.
Exactly.
I'm the one that set the pace. So speaking of moving out here, you recently just purchased a home.
I did. So I'm in the middle of buying it. And so I close pretty soon, like a month.
Yeah.
Month, yeah. And it's my first home.
Now, so everybody at home, this is something that I want to point this out, is we're in the adult industry and you are a consenting young lady, I believe. You do everything that you want because you want to do it, not because someone's making you and a big mean man's doing things. Not to say that shit like that doesn't happen. Yeah. And by no means am I making light of it. But so you have made your own money. You've made your own career. You've made your own decisions, yeah, to do the things that you want to do. And you're buying your first house in Vegas. And we're not going to talk about how much it is, but you're buying a brand new house, yeah, a brand new home. How old are you? 22 fucking two.
And you know what? People are always like, oh, you do porn. Like, you know, when they first hear it, it's like, it kind of leaves a sour taste in their mouth. Cause yeah. you know, it's porn. But then, and I like to stay humble, but at the same time, I'm like, I'm buying my first house at 22.
That's
like,
the point I'm trying to make. Yeah. You know? A 22-year-old person who is fucking buying your own yeah. home. That's like, that's the, as American as American dream gets.
Yeah. I'm really proud of myself. You I'm stressed be. Out, but yeah, I mean, I definitely get lots of shit for doing porn, but then I look at the positive. I'm like, porn has given me so many opportunities. So, you know what I mean? Like, I wouldn't be here without, you know what I mean? It's right. just, yeah.
Well, you've got your independence. As a 22-year-old woman, usually, at 22 usually, and I'm not even going to say the majority because I feel like it's a minority of people that are 22 or probably, I don't know, college or finishing up with college and then trying to get into some career and they're buried in debt and they yeah. have all this crap that's on top of them that they're trying to now crawl out of. No matter what they're, or either they're continuing with it so they want to be a doctor or a higher level. And you're 22, you're established in your career already, and you're buying your first fucking home.
Aww.
That's like, dude, that's like, that's the shit. That's really fucking amazing. Because most people, like at 22, I wasn't even sure if I knew the difference between my ass and a hole in the ground. And here you are buying your first fucking house independently yeah. by your, like on your own.
And I mean, props to those people who are going to school and like, you know, getting their education and stuff. But oh, that's yeah, just good for not, them. That's just not for me. You know, I love my job. So to be able to get paid to do this.
Right.
Is pretty cool.
Do you feel like you are, that you are, cause you know, there's always the stigma of like, well, did you know you're perpetuating blah, blah, blah. And they go, yeah, exactly. I wish anybody that was listening could go find my YouTube channel and subscribe and watch this one just because the look on her face described the attitude yeah. for most, because it is, there's this, oh, you poor girls. And who's making you do this?
Oh, your daddy issues. And it's like, okay, we all got fucked up issues in the world.
All of us do.
And yeah, like the porn community, I feel like we all have a deeper kind of level of issues,
right.
you know, but it's crazy how we're all, we can all like kind of, we gather as a group. I don't know. I find it a very supportive group of people.
Yeah, we do. We very much take care of each other. Yeah. And it, because it is, there's so many of us that are here, but, and there's a lot of flashes and they're here and they're gone super quick. And that sucks. But at the same time, the people that are here,
yeah.
we all know we're, it's like that 6 degrees of separation. We're not that far. If there can be a person that comes in here that I've never seen before, and before the 4 or 5 hours of our shoot time is over, I've already found, oh, you know so-and-so, and I know so-and-so, and like suddenly you are buddies, and you've bonded over somebody that you both know. So it's a, yeah, it's a very tight-knit, and we go to bat for each other. Like, we kind of try and fucking fend off bullshit.
And I feel like you get to know porn people very well because we're so open. Like, I find like there's not really any secretive, I don't know, have you noticed that? Like, you can go to set and be on set with someone and you feel like you know them because they're so like they just talk and like you get to know the right. real them, which is pretty cool. I feel like if you go into, and I'm not knocking 9-to-5 jobs, do your thing, but I feel like when you're in an office, you don't get to know the people you work with
right.
you know very well. So that's another thing about porn I really like. You get to know people.
Yeah. I think that also, and people are going to be like, duh, when I say this, but it's because we people get naked and we fuck in front of each other.
It's true. And it's so, kind of nice to get to know each other before you fuck too.
Right.
Yeah.
Or it's like, hey, now that we fucked, you want to hang out and talk? And, but you do, because when the cameras go off, all the oohs and the ahs and the moans stop and we talk about normal shit.
Normal stuff. Like buying a house or how we're going to decorate or whatever,
right.
you know, like dogs and cats.
Yeah. People, like I tell them, I was like, you know, if you actually were to come and sit on set, we're not all fucking each other. We're not all naked jerking off. And
well, do you remember I was like a couple hours ago, I was sitting out there and I was kind of like spaced out. And I was just like, and you're like, are you okay? I'm like, I'm just thinking about how I want to decorate my house.
Yeah.
Like, see, it's just so like,
cause we had finished our first scene. So just so that you guys can paint a picture,
yeah.
or, we had finished our first scene, and because it's the first we've shot together, but never on set at the same time or to as a, basically having to put up with my shit. And so we did our first scene and we did the things and then you kind of were spaced out a little bit. And I was like, and I kept looking at you and yeah, so that was like, cause it, you know, there could be the, hey, is everything okay? And they could be like, well, I was thinking, cause they were thinking so hard about that. And when you looked up and smiled, you're like, no, I'm great. I'm just thinking of how I'm going to decorate. I was like,
see,
this
yeah,
is so awesome.
When I cut, like when I'm not always like sexual on set, I'm like thinking about other stuff like normal people do at work. I don't know.
Well, not to mention, can we tell them what you were doing when you were warming up, what we were talking about?
You mean when I was filming it, kind of? Okay, yeah, I was I was filming. So for anal, I don't know if you guys know, but porn stars prep and we like get ready and stretch just because who wants to
just dive in.
Exactly. So I was stretching and I was filming it because OnlyFans. And
why not?
And you guys were talking. What were you guys talking about?
We were talking about
medical health. You're like, doesn't it suck how you guys were talking about like really dark stuff too? And I'm like, you're like, are you going to mute this? I'm like, yeah, I'm going to mute this.
Yeah. Because you were, and then you got in the conversation. Like you sat there and turned while you were.
Yeah, just
doing your thing. Yeah. And yeah, if you guys want to know, you should go follow her on her, what did you say, OnlyFans?
Yeah.
Tell them what's your OnlyFans so they can find you.
OnlyFans.com/EmmaHicksOfficial. There's some good stuff on there.
Oh, I had it turned down, damn it. There.
But yeah, it was just a conversation as I'm like, can I say any words I want on here or do I have to keep a PG?
Here?
Yeah.
Well, fuck it. You can say whatever you want.
Okay. Well, I was fucking my ass and I'm just having a conversation like, yeah, like, you know, healthcare, blah, blah, blah. Like just a total normal conversation.
And people don't get that. They're like, wait a minute, you're doing what? And we were sitting there talking about, yeah, health benefits and like very heavy conversation. And you're like sitting there doing your thing with the camera rolling. And the people are probably like, this is the greatest thing ever. Look what she's doing to her butt. And we're having a conversation about like political shit and the state of the fucking country and healthcare. And you're just like,
I'm just I'm just talking with you guys. Like, yeah, I know what you mean.
I can't believe that blah, blah, blah did that.
Oh, that's what we do. We warm up with normal conversations.
Exactly. Well, you can't sit around and talk about sex all the time, especially when we're doing it the entire time.
It's exhausting. I love sex, but between takes, it's like we always talk about something normal.
You have to. If you continuously are talking about doing the dirty or the dirty things, and we cut up and we do continue sometimes, but for the most part, it's like we're, and that's why I started doing this podcast was so people could see that, you know, we are boring. We are we go home and we make dinner and we, you know, put our kids to bed or play with our pets and then, you know, snuggle in and watch our favorite crime drama crap or whatever, you know, thing that's on the TV.
Exactly.
So that's why I was like, you know what? People should see this side of us, the human side of us.
I like that. See, yeah, because a lot of people, it's like, I mean, look at, I'm wearing like sweatpants and a sweater right now. And like, people think, oh, like she must, I had a fan say this. They're like, oh, you must wear like crop tops or people must judge you when you wear short shorts out because I wear short shorts in my scenes.
Right.
And I'm like, this is what I wear out. Like, right. I'm a normal, like, I just, you know.
Well, most of the time when there's no makeup and there's no, like, you're trying to do, you want to blend in because what a lot of people don't understand and fans that listen to this should understand this and know this, that if you see us out, especially you girls, walking up and going, oh my God, I'm your biggest fan, when you're a woman by yourself, it's uncomfortable because when you say you're my biggest fan in a public place, the way you say it, you're basically saying, walking up to any random stranger and saying, hey, I jerk off to you.
I mean, I like it though. I like it.
But if you're walking random, your head's down and you're just like, you don't
I don't want to be noticed. I'm right. Just like,
that's what I'm saying.
Yeah.
But that's when they always notice.
It's true because you know what? I was at the airport like a week ago and I had my hood up and then I have my glasses on and I looked like I was like a total like hungover. I was just trying to like,
right.
I had no makeup on, so I didn't want anyone to see me. And I put down my hood for a minute and a guy came up to me and he's like, I know you. And I was like, okay.
Here we go.
Yeah, here we go. He's like, where do I know you from? I'm like, and I'm so blunt. Like, I'm just whatever. I'm like, Pornhub. Probably Pornhub. And his family was with him. And I like didn't mean to shame him because everyone watches porn. But I was like, right. Pornhub, that's where you saw me.
Right.
Yeah.
And yeah, it's funny when you throw people because anytime someone asks me, I do the same thing. I'm like, I do porn. And they're like, that's pretty funny. Now, what do you really do? And I'm like, you want to see the fucking social media? Let me show you my phone. Speaking of which, open your phone and I'll airdrop you the pictures from today.
Oh, thank you. Yeah, we took some good photos. It should show up as bad bitches iPhone or something like that.
Oh, sorry. My wife is texting me about the hot sauce. I asked her to pick up some hot sauce today and she said she can't find it.
I.e. normal conversation right there.
Yeah. All right, let me see. Pictures, photos, make sure my cameras don't see this.
There's some dirty shit on there.
It is. I'm just going to kind of airdrop you all of these, and then you can choose which one you want to use. I got a lot of the suspension. Yeah. I'm not going to give you that.
It's a lot of suspension now.
Yeah. Disco's head. Disco.
Nice. Oh, that's it?
Yeah, that's it. Because yep. it's like a shameless plug for my videographer. Okay, so that's you? Bad?
Yeah.
Boop.
bad little bitch.
I love it.
Thank you. Ooh. Oh, I can't show you guys.
Oh, the last one I love because it's such a big smile.
My God. Look at my face. I look like I'm in pure bliss.
Yeah. That's why I said I was kind of snapping away. So don't. I didn't even look at the pictures. I just kind of did it.
Wow, that's art. We did some real art today.
There's some good stuff. You look fucking great doing it. That's why I tell everybody. I was like, you know, it's the models are what make me look good. The models and disco are what makes me look good. Like, I'm just a guy who does. I mean, I'm good at what I do, but having models that are like, oh, yeah, I'll let you do this crazy shit to me. That's when I'm like, damn right I did that. But she's the one who did it. She just let me. Helped her.
That's true. There has to be a lot of trust on this set too, hey?
A lot. A super lot, because that's one of the tougher things for me to do is like, I have to meet you and I have to gain your trust in an hour or so. And then we walk out here and do crazy dangerous shit. Like, I'm going to hang you from the sky from rope. And I'm going to do things that most of the population is like, are you fucking crazy? You're not doing that to me. And you're like, yeah, come on.
It takes a lot of trust for me to do that. But I mean, you get along with people very, you're easygoing. You're like
personable.
Like, that's the word. Thank you. And so it's easy, but, I mean, I've been on sets where it's kind of the same kind of thing. I mean, not as bondage, not as rough, but I'm like, if I don't trust the guy, I'm like, this isn't going to be good.
And the members can see it. They can tell. People watching it can be like, oh, she's not into this. And that's, and there's some people that don't recognize it as bad because if you're not into it. But they're going, I didn't like her performance in that one. And they don't know why. And it's because you probably weren't digging who you were fucking with.
Yeah.
So, and plus with this, like if I walked on set and as soon as you walked into the building, I'm like, hey, go sit down. I'll bring you your paper in a minute. And ignored you. You'd be like, fuck this creep. I'm getting the fuck out of here.
Exactly. That's intimidating. And it's kind of like, oh.
And there's some people that do that in the bondage industry. They're like, they come in and their dom biscuit has been eaten for that day. So they're like, they first thing they do is they walk in. And they try this intimidation and I'll bring you something in a minute. Just go sit down. It's like, you fucking that stop
just,
it.
Yeah, it just makes my pussy like even tighter. Like, you know what I mean? Like stressed out. I'm like, no, relax me.
Turns into the Mojave Desert. Yeah. Dry as a bone.
Dry.
So yeah, I think it has to, I think it comes with the territory too, especially as long as I've been doing this because I'm about to start my 17th year in the porn industry.
Wow.
It's long. I feel like I should have a button for like, burp, burp, oh.
No, it's a good thing.
Oh, damn it, wrong
button. No, have a good one. Dun, 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 dun.
So, yeah, it's doing it this long and doing what I do. Like, I mean, that's what I've been doing for almost 17 years now is tying people up and torturing them.
Yeah.
And working with some of the biggest names like yourself and like, you know, Angela White. And it comes from a reputation of people going, if you're going to do it, go see that guy.
Yeah.
And every once in a while I go on Twitter and I'm like, what the fuck? Why is my phone blowing up? And I look and then somebody has talked about something and all the other models are like, go talk. JP's the one you want to talk to.
Yeah. Because yeah, you have to have a lot of trust to do this stuff. And I think I thought it was you at first. Remember the first time I worked for you and I thought that, oh, never mind.
No, it's okay. You can say.
I thought that you were someone else that had a bad reputation in the bondage industry. And so I was really nervous and I was like, oh my God, I don't know what's going to happen. But then as soon as I like confirmed that with you, I'm like, so is this you? You're like, no. I'm like, okay, then everything's going to be good.
No, that's not me. So let's talk about your Canadian, because you brought that up. So I feel like we have to discuss it. I don't know what we're going to discuss. What part of Canada are you from?
British Columbia.
British Columbia.
Like Kelowna, Vancouver.
So that's right above Portland or Seattle.
Is that Washington?
Like the Seattle, Washington. Yeah. So you're right above Washington.
Yeah.
I'm a shitty American right now. I'm like, I don't know which one's.
I don't even know either, but I know there's. Is it Oregon? Is that how you say it? Oregon.
Oregon. Yeah.
Oregon and then Washington and then BC.
BC's right up there.
Right there. Yeah.
Now what's the island right off of BC?
Vancouver Island, Victoria.
Victoria. That's what it is.
It's pretty. It's just. It's expensive, more expensive than California.
I've heard that Vancouver is like stupid expensive.
Oh, stupid expensive.
Well, Canada in general, isn't it a little just it's so fucking. I've never been, and I like I said, I've got some friends that live up there, and I've seen pictures, and it's like it's such beautiful country up there, such beautiful country.
It's so beautiful, but yeah, some places are expensive. But I mean, the healthcare, the free healthcare, That's what I'm
Hello.
Doing.
Hello. That's just where I need like a, we need a fucking, I refer to him as the Cheeto in charge that runs this country. And boy, don't get me even started on that motherfucker right now. So speaking of Canada, let me ask you this. Do you watch a lot of TV?
Yeah.
That's okay to
I
want to
say no.
It's okay. Do you Netflix?
I do.
Have you seen the documentary called Don't Fuck with Cats?
Yeah, that got me in a really bad mental spot for a little bit because, okay, this is, okay, I'm going to sound really fucked up for a minute, but it scarred me more to see the animals tortured than it did the human.
Right.
I mean, that's fucked up to say, but like, I love animals. I love people too.
Well, the people that are in it, it's the same thing. They were the same way. They're like, you know, that sucks that person died, but you don't fuck with cats.
Don't fuck with cats. That's like the one rule ever. But yeah, he's Canadian, right?
Mm-hmm.
I couldn't even finish it.
You didn't?
I like canceled 2 days of work because I was so like, I'm like these poor kittens. Like I was so sad about it. But yeah, he's Canadian. And so I was like, you are not repping Canada very well.
Mm, not at all. It was weird because it's, because there's only three episodes.
Yeah, four.
I think there were only three.
Oh.
We have the technology. Yeah,
pull that shit up. I think I only got to like two, maybe. But
so this may be spoiler alerts, fuckers. So if you, I'm not going to put in the notes where you can find fast forward. So you just may have to be spoiled with it. And it even, I'll tell you this. Someone told me, I had a model at Ivy LaBelle on set and she told me about it.
Hi, did you see it yourself?
The documentary? Yeah. I had seen it popping up because I'm on Netflix all the time.
It's so fucked up.
And she said, have you watched this yet? And I was like, don't F with cats.
And the lady who was like trying to catch this dude is from Vegas.
Yeah. So internet killer, 90% like this movie. It's three. So it's cat and mouse, killing for clicks, and then closing the net.
Yeah, see, I didn't even watch the last one. I was like, oh, and you know what? I should because I want to see him get caught.
It's good because it's the same pace. So it keeps, because you know, it's not like they stuck on the one. They were like, this is this, and this made us mad, and we fucked this guy, and now we're doing this, 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 and it kept moving really fast. Because I was like, fuck, are they going to have any? Because I didn't, it's like, there's no way they're going to wrap this up in three things, and they move so fast through it. And it's good. Like the way it wraps up, it's done
so
really well.
You just
well.
Watch it.
Yeah, I just watched it. Yeah.
Oh, it's so fucked up.
I binged the hell out of it.
You know what's kind of weird, though? When I was a kid, because this happened when? Like, 2001?
I think it was
it wasn't that long ago.
I think it was 2010-ish. I think so.
I remember my mom saying when I was, like, a kid. Actually, this was only 10 years ago. I was maybe, like, yeah, I was, like, 12, right? Yeah, 12. I remember my mom saying, oh, yeah, like the senator or something just got mailed a foot. And like for some reason, I was like, oh, that's really weird. And now that I saw that documentary, I'm like, I get it. That's so weird.
Yeah. And the guy that he had an odd name.
It's Lee, wasn't it?
It was something like that.
With an L, I swear. Or no, I'm thinking of Luca.
That's it. It's Luca.
And he was a porn star, too. And I'm like, dude, you were making the fucking.
He wasn't a porn star. Luca, his name is Luca Rocco. I'm right here. I just fucking find this guy's name. But he
did porn. If you look him up, it's all porn.
He was a male escort.
Oh.
Luca
Magnata.
Yeah. Yeah. Luca Magnata. And he, a handsome motherfucker. Like he was a good looking.
I didn't think he was handsome at all.
He's very, he has this like, now there's pictures. I'm sitting here looking at pictures. There's some of them that are not flattering at all of him.
He just looked.
He looks like a fucking turd right there. But when you see him.
Like a turd.
He was very unique looking. Because he had some pictures where I was like, wow, he's kind of a good looking kid. But like right here, the shit that he even pulled here.
I didn't see that. Was that the last episode?
You got to watch the last episode. Like, it pulls it all together so much. And then when you find out how fucking twisted he is and the shit, even in that, once he does something, he'll do something in the interrogation video. And then they follow up and tell you why he, because when he does it, you don't think anything of it.
And then, but did the detectives, like, pick up on it and, like, kind of, like, explain?
No. What was her name? Body Moving.
Yeah.
I think she pointed out that like, look what he just did, because she finally was able to pick up on why he was doing the things that he did. It's all based around a fucking movie. And he pulled a stunt and asked for a cigarette, and it was an exact scene out of fucking
Wonderland.
No, it was
I'm gonna download it right now so I can watch it on the flight.
You should. It's amazing. it was his favorite movie was God damn it. What the fuck was his favorite movie?
Oh my god, I only watched one episode. Okay.
So real quick before I go away from this, let's see right there. Like he was not bad looking, but you could tell he's fucked up. Like
no, he has fucked up all written over him. He's just oh my god. Did you see that video of him like going into like what was it, cover boy or whatever? And he's like, everyone tells me that I'm handsome.
Yeah, he was very, and he created all those profiles to like himself. Like, it's crazy. That's crazy. So, wait a minute. All right, what was I going to do?
I'm now, like, downloading it so I can watch it.
You have to watch it because it gets good. It moves into all the other creepy shit that he's doing.
I mean, I hate that it gives, like, killers like that the, what's it called, exposure. And, like, right. You know what I mean? But at the same time, it's so interesting how, have you noticed how Netflix is all, like, crime stuff and killers and stuff? Or is that just my Netflix because it shows me this?
It's because you watch a lot of that.
Oh, really? Okay, well, now I feel so fucked up.
But it's you have to...
Oh, my God. I need to start watching more Disney shows so more happy stuff pops up.
Yeah, because mine is... God damn it. What was the fucking movie that they talked about? I'm sure somebody's probably screaming listening to this right now because they're like, I just watched it. It's got Sharon Stone in it. It's the one that...
Is it new or old?
It's an older movie. You know what? I'll just do that. Let's do this while we're talking about Sharon Stone.
I don't even know who that is.
Oh, my goodness.
I'm terrible with names, though.
Sharon Stone. Basic Instinct.
Is it recording?
Yeah, it's recording.
Okay.
I've just got it on a different screen so I can see the sound. See, it's recording.
Oh, okay. That's good.
But thank you for checking because I almost shit my pants just now. It's called Basic Instinct, and he was basing every move and shit that he was doing off of Basic Instinct.
So, like, did they kill cats in that movie?
No, that was just him being fucked up. But Basic Instinct was, like, his favorite thing, and the move that he pulls in the interrogation video, he leans over and says, can I get a cigarette? And they hand him one, and he does this thing where he crosses his legs, and that's one of the most infamous scenes in the movie because Sharon Stone's not wearing panties.
No, you're ruining this for me.
I'm not. This is like 2 minutes of the thing. That's just 2 minutes.
So they caught on to that.
The body moving caught on to it, and she's like, this motherfucker. And then they start slowly sewing it all, and then you start seeing how fucking twisted this kid really is.
I mean, he's twisted.
That's 2 minutes of the, like one of the episodes. I didn't give anything away.
I'm like, he is just fucking not repping Canada very well.
He's not. I would not be proud of him at all.
No.
Yeah, he pulled some shit, and he's a bag of shit for the stuff that he did. And he went from when they captured him to like, fuck yeah. Like, he thought he was a star to now he's a terrified, scared little boy who is fucked.
Good. He's probably getting fucked in the ass. Is he in prison? Don't even tell me. I want to watch it. I'm not going to tell you. Don't even tell me.
That's it with the spoiler alerts or the spoilers.
Someone kill him? Don't tell me, Ashley.
I'm not going to tell you. I got too many people listening to this. They're going to be like, fuck you, JP. I'm never listening again.
Ruined it. I'm going to turn the Wi-Fi on for a moment.
But yeah, dude, did you have the Wi-Fi?
Yeah, I do.
Okay.
There we go. Now it's downloading.
Okay. I was going to say, if not, I can share it with you.
No, I'm good now. Gonna watch some Don't Fuck With Cats on the way home.
It's good. It's really good. It's gonna, like, now that, because once you get through the first part of it where you're like, you fucking bag of shit, and you kind of get past it, you're like, okay, now I want to see this motherfucker
go
get
down
home.
Yeah.
So he it's good. It's worth watching the next two.
It was the animals that really fucked me up. I was like, oh my god, my poor babies.
Well, it was the same thing with the main lady, body moving. She was like, you know, they had her that she's like, I've never really watched it. And they had, remember in the first episode, and they had her put up the laptop and try and start watching it. And she's like, I can't. And she had to stop.
Yeah.
And they luckily, for anybody that's listening to this or watching, they don't actually show the full video. So you don't have to worry about it. It's like, there's enough to let you understand what's happening, but they don't show the entire thing.
You know, it's on the dark web though, right?
Oh, I'm sure it is.
Everything.
Oh, I'm sure. I mean, I bet if you go on, you can probably, I'm not going to look it up.
No, I did it. Don't do it.
Oh, for fuck's sakes.
No, that's why I was so mentally fucked up for a minute. Don't do it. It's fucked up.
So back in the 90s, yeah. Let me take this way back. Back in the 90s, and fuck you guys, yes, there was an internet back then. That's how that's how we started it with shit like this. It started circulating. There was no social media, so it wasn't like people were tagging each other and dropping videos and going, hey, check this out, like this thing was. But it got around that there were videos of beheadings. And I'm like, this is bullshit, this is not real, there's no fucking way, and I watched one, and to this day, I could still tell you exactly what it sounds like when someone screams as their throat's getting cut. Mm. It's fucked up. Mm-mm. So don't do it. Don't fucking do it.
Was that on the dark web?
No, this was just on the web.
Oh my god, there's fucked up shit out there.
I don't know if they would call it dark now, but all you had to do was like, blah, 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 and the videos popped up. You just searched for it.
mean, everything. Yeah, no, it's pretty fucked up.
But this is before you, there was no Wi-Fi back then. You had to be plugged in and you had to have the modem. Like there was, this was, like I said, this was the 90s.
It was a simpler times.
Simpler.
Don't you miss that? I wish I was born in like the 70s.
I wish that there, you know, as being a kid, there were things that you kids now are never going to experience. Like there's this
like imagination.
Having an imagination. Well, my kid's got a pretty good imagination, but we're also pretty strict with him about how often he gets to do things and be on computers and crap. But we had the talent that's been lost of being, and I say talent because they don't have it now, or most kids don't have it. You have to learn how to be bored. Like people don't know how to be bored. They're like, oh, okay, there's nothing going on. Let me pick up my phone. To sit there with nothing. Or even something is like when I saw a meme the other day and it had this kid sitting here holding a fucking cereal box. And it was like, that's what, we didn't have a phone or the internet or anything. We read the back of a cereal box. Like I could probably, if I tried hard enough, tell you and recite the back of a Captain Crunch fucking box because I read it so often because that was the only thing you had sitting on the table.
I was the same way growing up though. Like I have two older sisters and we in Canada, I mean, we didn't even grow up without we grew up without a TV and it's not because like, it's just because we just didn't have one. We were like, you know, I love my mom. She raised us very good because she was like, no electronic, like go outside. And it's not even that we wanted to use electronics, but we were like outdoors. Like it's amazing. And right. I wish that, I don't know, I'm going to be the same way with my kids, but.
It's good for you. It's good to kind of keep your head out of this because it's too easy to pick this up constantly.
Oh my God. And then it's just like addicting too. Cause I get addicted and I'm like, I got to remember to put it down and you know, but my mom, it was just sticks for us and it was fun. Sticks and mud.
Yeah. And that's what, I mean, I feel like you should. There's a certain thing that I read an article recently and it was about as a human, like our body is designed. Certain things are in our DNA, just like a cheetah. Like cheetahs know how to hunt. There's not like a class. They don't have to go to school. Mm-hmm. They're born and they follow mom and dad. I think mom, because dads usually fuck off in nature. So they follow mom and mom shows them how to do things and then they separate quickly. And it's in their DNA and they know how to do things, but they also need to. So if you take a cheetah, and I'm just using this as an example. So you take a cheetah and you stick it in a fucking cage, it's going to wither away because it's meant to run. It's meant to chase. It's meant to hunt. It's meant to have a purpose. Humans, same way. We are meant to be like a tribe, a group of us that we all support and we all help each other and we help fend for each other. Like, okay, you just had a child and you can't go out and hunt and gather. So they're going to go hunt and gather for you. And that was the thing is like we as humans, that's kind of the way we're bred. It's in our DNA to take care of each other and to hunt and help provide. Well, go outside anymore. You don't hunt. You don't gather. You don't move. You sit on your ass. You get in your car and you drive to work and you take however many short steps, and you sit at your cubicle, and you probably sit and don't even stand.
And we Netflix and chill all day, every day. Yeah. I do.
And now people are like, fucking, you know, if I could just go and like the exercise, and I wish I was like those few people who go to the gym. Bitch, we're all like that. Yeah. It's in us. We've become accustomed to being lazy.
It's true.
And it's killing us because it's like we're not designed. We're not built to sit on our asses. We should be fucking moving and going constantly.
That's true. I mean, I'm even in that situation where I'm like, I know I keep seeing my gym membership charging my account. I'm like, I know I need to go. Sorry, that was mine.
Oh, okay. I just heard
that. I know I need to go, but it's just the motivation of getting out. But I'm more of like I like to go swimming and like hiking. A gym is cool, but I feel like it's more of like a,
it's, you know, harder. What I mean? The gym's harder, I feel like, because when you go to the gym, I want that machine, but they're on it.
Exactly. Okay, outdoor, hiking and go wherever the fuck you want. Yeah. And,
yeah. Just wait till you move out here, dude. You are going to fucking love. Like I said, the summertime is going to be a bitch and it's really fucking hot, but you also, you prepare yourself for it.
Exactly. That's why I'm putting in a pool. So then I won't be as hot and
I'm saying is the outdoor stuff. That's the thing that sucks is because you fall in love with, because there's so many trails and there's so much shit out here to do outside. There's like I told you, the mountains with the snow over there, that's 45 minutes away.
That's true.
The fucking amazing hiking Red Rock is like a fucking 20-minute drive from right here. And you can be like parked and walking up a fucking into the mountains.
That's so cool.
It's beautiful out here. There's so much shit to do. And people, they hear Vegas and they're like, oh, the Strip. And no, the locals don't fucking hate. You know what the locals do on the Strip? They work and then they leave and go back out to the valley.
That's what someone said to me. They're like, stay away from the Strip. Stay away from gambling. And I'm like, I don't gamble. I just, and like, they're like, oh, even my family at first was like, oh, like, you know, Vegas is the party city. You're going to be partying all the time. And I'm like, no, it's very suburban when you're like out.
It is. You get off of the strip and it's the entire city suburbia.
It's huge. The only thing that doesn't make it super suburban is I feel like there's no, because it's Vegas, there's no grass. You know what I mean? I feel like.
Well, there are. There are parks. There's actually parks out here that have lawns on, like, really? Big fucking grass. A lot of the school, most of the schools have these beautiful fucking lawns.
Really?
Most of the houses don't, but because it's like, you know, we're trying to conserve water. We're not trying to fucking destroy the goddamn planet by, like, what's water shit that's in the desert that doesn't belong here.
Exactly. But for schools, I totally get it. Kids are playing and, you know.
Right. You don't want gravel around. But most backyards, I mean, I don't know. I saw you actually had a lawn in your backyard.
Well, it's turf.
It's turf, yeah. And that's where you find a lot, too. You go to, like, the feed and seed kind of place, yeah. Like the plant store. And they've got, like, I didn't know this, there's like fucking, I think seven or eight different kind of turf. So you get the thing that's like this really crappy that we had in the 70s. Like people would put on their patio and it was horrible plastic. And you're like, what the fuck? That could be your turf outside. Or you could have shit that when you see it, you're like, that's real grass. You're not fooling me. And then you go touch it and you're like, oh, that's plastic.
But it still feels nice. It doesn't leave like an itch or anything. But the only thing, so when I move into this place, you know what the sellers are saying? The only thing that they want to take is the turf. They want to peel the turf out and take it with them.
What kind of petty fucks? That's the.
But I think it's because I told them, okay, so I'm going to start building a pool, the whole thing, whatever. So they're like, okay, well, we're going to take the turf. And I'm like, the one thing you're going to take from the house is the turf?
You can't just leave the turf and go buy more. You're selling the house.
Because I'm thinking when I put the pool in, I want turf around it.
Right.
So I'm like, that's weird. I've never heard of someone taking turf before. I don't know, but maybe they're going to use it and whatever. Use it because it's, I'm going to take it out anyway.
Some people, people are just that way. They do weird shit. And it's weird to us. To them, it seems completely sane.
Exactly.
So
that's like being like, I'm going to take all these bricks at the front because I like these bricks.
Yeah. You see that reddish gravel on the end? I'm going to take that.
We're just going to scoop it up and it's take it out.
You can't just go buy more red gravel. Nope. We're taking this one.
Exactly. Good luck. It's good luck.
Yeah, exactly. It's like, it's kind of that I'm going to take my ball and go home thing. It's like, I'm going to take something. I don't know what I'm going to take. You don't want that or you kind of want it? I'm going to take it.
I'm going to take it.
Because didn't you say they were also wanting to, they wanted to take the water softener?
Yeah, they wanted to take the water softener. Yeah, they wanted to take that. And I was like, and the laundry machines. Which, like, I totally get laundry machines, whatever. But I was like, honestly, I'd rather pay extra just to have that there. Because by the time it's just like easier to just have it there already.
It's crazy because out here, because in California, it was the same way. When you move into houses in L.A. and San Francisco. Well, no, San Francisco, did they? San Francisco did. L.A., they don't have fucking refrigerators in houses. When you move in as a renter, you need to bring your own fridge.
I had to buy my own. And so now this new place has a fridge, and I have this, like, big-ass fridge in L.A., and I'm like, do I just, like, leave it here? And it's not, like, a cheap... Fridges aren't cheap either. No. You know what I mean? I'm like, should I haul it? Should I spend the money hauling it over to Vegas, or should I just, like, leave it? You know,
the problem is you're never going to get the money back for it.
I know. I'm at that point where I'm like, I kind of just want to leave everything in LA and just like start over.
You should.
You know what I mean?
It's good.
I think it's good. I think it's healthy. But at the same time, I'm like, I want to save money though.
And that's where that's where you get torn. You're like, should I take the fridge? Now, is there a fridge in the new house?
Brand new. But then I'm thinking, because in Canada, I don't know about here, but in Canada, like we always have like a garage fridge.
Yeah.
So I can always put it back there. That's like where all the freezer burnt stuff goes anyway. So just
exactly. You could do that. I mean, we don't have one. My brother has a second fridge out in his, and it's the same thing because he has people over all the time. It's like, go put the beer out there. Don't put it in the main fridge.
Yeah. See, that's what I'm thinking.
And he's not even a big drinker.
But then I'm like, do I really want to get a U-Haul and like.
Just for a fucking fridge.
Yeah, because it's not like all I'm bringing.
Our neighbor next door, he's a photographer, and I saw, as I was leaving yesterday, I kind of saw this truck that I had never seen before with a trailer and backed up to his door. And I'm like, is this motherfucker getting robbed? So I kind of walk out like, let me go see what the fuck's going on. And I walk around the corner and I yell his name. And he's like, hey! And he's over there with his dad. And he's like, you want to give us a hand? And I'm like, yeah, what are you guys doing? He's like, we got to put this fridge on the trailer. And I'm like, why? He's like, well, we just bought a house. And the house that we were renting, we hated the fridge, which is this one. It was a nice fridge. But he's like, we wanted a really fucking badass fridge.
Yeah.
So I don't know what level constitutes badass, but he was like, this fridge sucked and we wanted a nicer fridge, so I just brought it to the fucking studio and it's been sitting here, but now that we're moving out of that house, I gotta put the fucking fridge back. And I was like, this is hilarious. He had this massive U-Haul fucking trailer for one fucking refrigerator.
See, that's my thing. I'm like, I really don't want to get a U-Haul to just haul that thing over. This is when I'm like, I need like two strong men in my life just to help me load it into my truck, and then I'm good.
What you should do. Yeah.
JP, you know anybody
JP,
else?
You want to help me?
Bring out Disco too. Do you have any friends that you could be like, hey, look, I'm going to get rid of this fridge. Give me $200 and you can have it. Or whatever it is, kind of like a friend discount. So you can at least make some money so you don't feel like you just gave it away. Yeah. But then you're also being cool because you're helping a friend.
See, I don't really have a lot of friends, which is fine. And here's the thing is I don't want to be like, oh, I'm too nice. But I'm too nice in a way where I don't like talking about money with like my friends. So if someone's like, oh, like how much do you want for this stuff? Knowing me, I'm going to be like, just keep it. And then after I'm going to be driving to Vegas being like, why the fuck did I give all that stuff away for free?
Yeah.
But I know myself because I'm like, I'm just going to be like, take it. You have it. You use it.
Yeah. So. I did that when I left LA. We had a one of those mobile AC things that you can put in a room and you vent out through a window. And we had a friend that lived down in Hollywood and she didn't have AC in her fucking apartment. And it was, it's fucking whatever. So I was like, here, take this. I was like, I've got AC in my condo back in the valley because it's hot as fuck over there. So I was like, here, just take this. You're my friend and take it. And we moved 2 years later up to the San Francisco. And I don't know if you're familiar with San Francisco Bay Area, but most of the homes up there don't have AC because you don't need it. It's like in the Midwest, in Wisconsin, my grandmother didn't have AC in her house. I'm like, why the fuck don't you have AC? She's like, it's Wisconsin. You get like 2 weeks where it's like, okay, it's in the 90s and it goes back to being beautiful.
Exactly.
So we moved to San Francisco and I'm like, motherfucker. And then I had to go out and buy another fucking, and I was the same way. I was like, God damn it. And I swore I was never going to give it away again.
And then you did, didn't you?
We sat on it and kept it until we moved out here. And then we got here and there's AC and blah, blah, blah. And surprisingly, there's actually houses in Las Vegas that do not have ACs.
Oh my God, I would.
So we went and kind of, my wife's like this research queen, and she went and found some way to find people that weren't just flowing in money, like weren't just like, oh, I got all the money in the world, that kind of were in need, and she found a way to like get this to someone, and we basically handed it off.
That's nice. But that's really nice.
Yeah, so I didn't mind doing that. And it was the same way with my friend. It was just accept that, fuck, now I need it.
Yeah, now you need it. And it's like, especially right when you give it away to, you're like, ah.
Yeah, but it's like the family came and got it, and we helped them load it up, and they were like, so thank you so much. And they had like this little baby with them, and I'm like, oh.
See, that makes you feel better, though. Yeah. See, if it's like, if I give something to a friend or someone, and like I don't even see them use it, and I'm like, I could have given this to like someone who would appreciate it,
right?
You know, or who needs it.
And it said, you motherfuckers, like, okay, thanks a lot. And you go stick it in your garage, you dick.
Exactly. I'm like, no, give it to someone who needs it. So, yeah.
Fuck them. fuck them. So, let's talk about the industry. How do you feel about the industry? You've been doing it for 4 years now. Do you still love the industry? Is it your favorite thing?
Yeah, I don't want this to vibrate.
It's okay. You can set it there. The mics probably won't even pick
I'm
it up.
I'm still trying to download the Don't Fuck with Cats. Oh, it's almost done. But yeah, I've been doing this for 4 years and I still love it, but you know how it goes. My body's exhausted. So it was actually last night. I had a breakdown last night.
Oh no.
Yeah. And you know, when you're just so mentally, physically, emotionally just drained, I realized, okay, I need a break. That's just not going to snap. I was like, I just need a break. So I'm planning a trip back to Canada.
Okay.
And,
you kind of recharge your batteries when you go back home?
Yeah. And it's not that I don't like my job. It's just that, like, every job can be so, like, draining. So, right. And I've been working a lot, so.
You have to. Self-care is so important.
Yeah, and I've been letting myself go a little bit in a way where I'm just, like, a scene comes up and I'm, like, I'm taking it because you never know when the phone's going to stop ringing for this job. You know what I mean? So.
But you, and I agree with that because you do. It's hard to turn down work and it's hard to turn down money. But at the same time, there's that moment where if you don't sit there and say no, because at this point, 4 years in, you have established yourself. You've got a reputation. You've got people who are like, okay, I need a Hicks over here on my fucking site because you are a hell of a performer. And the things as a producer we look for is someone who fits the bill, who's attractive and looks like the type of person that we're looking for, who's easy to get along with, who can communicate well but doesn't come across as a fucking diva. And even with divas, you know what? We put up with divas and put a bit. But the ideal situation is you show up and look like the pictures you're supposed to. Mm-hmm. You're easy to get along with. You communicate well and you give a good scene every single time. And then we do all of that and we've had the best day in the world and then we put it on the internet and we're like, and she sells too. And now she's popular, which means now when I shoot her, my movies sell, which means the boss person that I'm selling these movies to is happy and wants me to keep making movies. And I think at 4 years in, as long as you've been doing this, I don't think the phone's going to stop ringing. I think the phone may slow down periodically because that just happens in this industry.
Yeah.
But I feel like you stepping back and saying, okay, 3 days or 5 days a week or 5 days a month, I am going to take me. So maybe you work your ass off for 3 days or 3 weeks solid. And then you take a week and you say, no, this is me. And I refuse to take work. And that's people start learning or whatever it is. Okay, I'm only going to work Monday through Thursday because Friday, Saturday, and Sunday are mine.
Yeah.
Or find some time to where you dedicate you, even if it's 1 day a week to where that's it's just true. You. That's and true. Mandatory. Like you tell yourself, all right, I'm mandatory. And plus 6 days a week is a lot of work.
Oh my God, I know. And I'm just, yeah. So I canceled my scene tomorrow, which I'm upset about, but I know that my body is just like, stop, like right. Take a break and just relax. So I'm excited tomorrow just to rest up.
No, the breakdown that it happened just because you've been working so much.
Yeah. And I like cried to my, I got on the phone with my agent. I'm just like, I'm just so tired. And then I was just going on, you know, when you're just so tired, you just cry. Mm-hmm. I don't know about you, but
don't let the big burly looking guy fool you. No, it happens to where you get so exhausted. You're like, I just want somebody to be nice to me.
Exactly. Yeah. And yeah, it was just like, I had a little breakdown and I'm like, I need to, and I love my job, but I'm like, I need to like, make sure I don't want to reach that point where I don't want to go to work anymore. So I realized yesterday, I was like, I need to take a break. So I continue being happy, like to be happy every time I go to set, you know?
Right. You have
to. So I knew that. I was like, I need a break. So I'm going to take like a 5 day break, go back home, do some Canadian stuff.
Playing in the mud with sticks.
Yeah. Whiskey and all that fun stuff with my family. Yeah.
I mean, it's good for you. Like I said, it's good if you don't recharge your batteries and you don't take care of your soul, then it just wreaks havoc on you. Like everything starts to fall apart. And the last thing you want is to hate the one thing that you love to do to make money.
Exactly.
Because if you start hating this, now you have to go do the one thing that you hate even more, which is get a normal job.
Exactly. And I could see myself doing that if I loved the job enough.
Right.
But I don't see myself doing anything right now, but anything else.
Right. You know? And it's, again, like you said earlier, I'm not knocking a 9-to-5, which, I mean, that's what makes the world go round.
Exactly, yeah.
And we're lucky and fortunate enough to do this. But at the same time, you have to have, and after, like I said, going into my 17th year, you have to take care of you. You have to step back sometimes and be like, you know what, fuck it. And I'm done. As I slap my mic. You have to. Like, if you don't, it'll eat you alive. And that's whether you're doing porn or whether you're an accountant or whether you're whatever the fuck you're doing. Like, even like with these hardcore sports people that fucking go for months and months and months because they have to train with preseason and they have to play nonstop and they have to train in between games and they're traveling all the time.
They still take breaks.
When the season's over, those motherfuckers clock out and you lose them. Like, they fall off the radar and you don't see or hear shit out of them for probably a good month because they're like, I need me. I need to recharge my batteries and then ease back in it.
Exactly. I'm at that point. And it's not that I hate my job. It's just I need that break. So I'm excited. I'm really excited. I haven't seen my family since Christmas, so it's been a little bit.
That's pretty awesome.
Yeah.
I'm just thinking that awesome enough that you're like, you saw your family at Christmas and here it is February 27th.
No, I usually go like every month to visit them. Because I get so homesick. So this is a long time for me. I'm like,
that's amazing, though. God.
Yeah, I know.
Because I feel like the older I get, I've got a brother that lives in North Vegas. It's like a 30-minute drive from here. And
you don't see him as often, do you?
I haven't seen him in probably a good couple months.
Really? Yeah. Aww, I wish my sister lived
here. He's an RN, and he's now studying to like take it to the next level. So he's between being at work and his online classes that he's like the school that he's doing. And he's got a full family and he loves it. So, and plus he's the one who very much is like, bitch, this is my time. And he shuts off and he disappears and he'll hop in his fucking, and he's got this badass Jeep.
Yeah.
And he's done all of this like crazy stuff. Like it's got this exoskeleton on it and these big ass fucking tires and the big LED. So when he says I'm going, he's gone.
Yeah.
Like he will hit the fucking woods. Him and I went out one time and we went so deep into the woods that it gave me mild anxiety.
Really?
Because he's like, okay, we're going to camp here. And I'm like, oh, I don't know if I can handle this shit, man. Because it was so fucking far back in the goddamn woods. And if he doesn't get that far away from the world, then he freaks the fuck out. So he's like, anytime he's like, okay, I've been working for a month and a half. I'm taking a week off and I'm going somewhere.
That's That's good.
And it's, he doesn't give a fuck. He will hit the, he hops in that Jeep and he'll go.
Like, I like that.
Dude, you know how far Montana is from here?
Oh, that's fucking far.
He will drive it instead of flying because he loves to be on the road so much.
I did that one time. I drove from here to Canada in 18 hours. 18 hours. Full, like only stop for gas. And right. I got there and the first thing my parents said to me were like, how the fuck did you drive that whole time straight? Like, and I just like pointed under my bum. I had like two pillows, like all like nicely, like, so I was like, this is how.
I had a buddy that, similar to that, he, back when I was living in LA, he was from Atlanta.
Yeah.
And he hopped in his, I think it was like an Acura Integra. Yeah. And he hit the road. And the only thing he did was stop for gas. And during the day, he slowed down to the speed limit or, you know, kind of cruised the traffic.
That's what I did, yeah.
He drove, he says, and I wasn't clocking him, but he says that it took him, I think, what was it? I think it was like fucking 31 hours. Something stupid. I'm like, how the fuck did you do that nonstop? He was like, Skittles and fucking Dr. Pepper. And
yeah,
I'm like,
I did Red Bull and, what was it? It was like little crackers, but yeah, I did Red Bull and crackers.
And he just was on a fucking sugar high and he showed up and he was like, hey, everybody. And I'm like, you've been driving for 31 hours and you're all cracked out. And he was like, Dr. Pepper and Skittles. I think it was 31.
He's like, I made it.
Whatever it was, like, we went and looked it up and we were like, you realize that that's almost like record time. Whatever it was, he was hauling ass. He said when the fucking sun went down and it got after midnight, he fucking put the pedal to the floor.
That's what I did too. I went like 1:30.
I was going to say, that's what he said. He was usually around 1:20, 1:30 and he just would go.
And it's funny because like this, I was scared of getting pulled over. Like I was so like paranoid about getting pulled over. And I made it all the way there, crossed the border, everything. And like, as I'm pulling into my mom's driveway, I get pulled over.
Get the fuck out of here.
Yeah. And I get this ticket and it's for having no insurance on the car, even though it was US insurance, but they wanted the Canadian, it's a whole thing.
They were looking to harass you at that point.
Yeah. And so I was like, as I'm pulling into my mom's driveway, I'm like, I drove 18 hours going 1:30 and I get pulled over pulling into my mom's driveway. Like, what the fuck?
Like, you motherfuckers.
Yeah. He ended up dropping the ticket though after I argued, but. This was like weeks after.
I was going to say, could you bat your eyes and be like, but please.
Oh,
officer.
No, I tried that in there. I was like, oh, no. Yeah. He was like, no.
Because it's like.
They're mean there.
I was going to say, they're not state troopers. What are the Canadian.
Royal Mounties. But yeah. Some of them are really, really nice. And some of them are just like dicks. Like, yeah.
I think that's anywhere. Yeah, I think that's anywhere you go. You're going to have some cops that you're like, oh, this one's actually not bad. But then you turn around and you're like, see, you motherfuckers. Yeah. You're the ones that fuck it up for everybody else.
Exactly.
Which is, I think, most of the time of anything. All right, young lady. So we're going to get you out of here so we can get you on a plane because you need to get going. So I wrap this up. I try and wrap these up all the time with a little advice thing. I'm putting like these little clips of advice and I'm probably going to release one soon because I've been doing this a while now. Mm-hmm. But if you could give advice to anyone coming in the industry, male, female, whatever, what would you say to them?
My best advice to someone new coming in the industry.
Oh, it's okay. You moved back a little bit.
Oh, did I?
That's how sensitive these mics are. You're like, can I just? Whoa.
Okay. Best advice would be to stay humble, be kind, and just stay true to yourself because the industry can tear you down and change you a lot.
Yeah.
And I got to that point where I was changing and I didn't like it. So I went back to myself. So that would be my biggest. Oh, and then don't get taken advantage of. Speak up.
Stand up for yourself. That's the one that we kind of touch on a lot. A lot of people are like, they say
and
that.
And it's cliche, but it's true in this industry. You have to.
Yeah. Because no one's going to advocate for you like you do.
Exactly.
And don't be afraid. Don't be scared of it because the hardest part about standing up for yourself is just opening your mouth.
Exactly.
Because once you start, most people are going to be like, oh shit, my bad.
Exactly.
And they back off really fucking fast.
Exactly.
And if they don't, kick him in the dick.
Exactly. That's what I do.
Gotcha, motherfucker. All right, young lady, you are fucking badass. I love today. Today was awesome. You guys go check it out. It's going to show up on Hogtied. I don't know. It'll probably be on there by the time I put this on out and all that fun stuff. But yeah, I think that's it. You got anything else you want to tell them? Anything else you want to say? All right.
I had fun.
You were a fucking badass. Thank you so much.
Put on the disco.
Oh, you want to hear the disco one more time? And with that, I say thank you so much, and we'll talk to you next time. See you, everybody.